This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Some three decades ago, the president of the University of California at Berkeley, Clark Kerr, famously defined a university as individual faculty entrepreneurs held together by a common grievance over parking. At NYU, the griping these days is over the university's plans to expand its cramped Greenwich Village campus. WNYC's Janet Babin reports the plan has pitted deans against professors and PhD candidates against department heads in a fierce internal debate.
Tucked away in the basement of 12 Waverly Place in the Village are these hot, steamy rooms that look like the grow houses in the Showtime series Weeds.
Do you ever, in the middle of winter when it's snowing, just come down here and, like, hang out?
Oh, absolutely. This
is NYU professor Michael Peruginen. He's growing rice down here to study the plant's evolution, but he needs to grow more rice.
This is the entire space I have to grow rice, which is probably smaller than a big walk-in closet.
So Peruginen doesn't have enough space, and he's the guy in charge of allocating space for his lab.
I think we have 16 people, and we have space for 12.
Peruginen supports NYU's expansion plan and says most scientists at the university do. But as I leave the lab, a polite postdoc corners me. She wants me to know she's against NYU's expansion. She refuses to be identified, though, for fear of losing favor with the department. NYU's plan would add more than 2 million square feet of space in the Village. That's just over a quarter the acreage of Riverside Park. The most intense part of the expansion would happen in a six-block area south of Washington Square Park and north of Houston Street. The university wants to erect four new buildings. Although one could be up to 26 stories high, more than half the new space would be underground. Still, it's a lot of construction for a beloved New York neighborhood to take in. At an April rally, residents complained the new buildings would overwhelm existing structures and reduce precious open space. Clashes between NYU and the Village have happened before, but the old narrative of town versus gown doesn't fit this time. NYU professors are joining with community activists, maybe because most of the construction will happen on land NYU already owns, where more than half its faculty live, right in professors' backyards. And on top of their dog run, here at the corner of Mercer and Houston Streets. Art history professor Dennis Geronimus admits he's part of the Not In My Backyard or NIMBY crowd, worried about the dust and noise construction will bring.
Hey, Bruno, come here. He's showing off.
But he's most upset that he and his chocolate lab, Bruno, will lose this dog run.
It might seem like a small thing, but so many of these small things add up to what we call quality of life. And this is, in fact, why we decided to come to NYU in the first place.
Communications professor Mark Crispin Miller heads up a faculty group formed to oppose the plan.
The project seems on its face to be a huge financial gamble. You're already stretched thin all over the world. They're already economizing by freezing salaries and cutting benefits and cutting back on financial aid.
NYU has not named the project's total cost, but estimates are in the billions. Whatever it is, Professor Ronald Ehrenberg with Cornell University's Higher Education Research Institute says it's likely NYU students will have to help pay for it.
Invariably, the cost of building raises your operating cost, and that leads to increase in tuition. And higher tuition will mean larger debt levels for students.
NYU students already graduate with high debt loads. According to 2010 data from the nonprofit Project on Student Debt, 55% of NYU students graduate with an average debt above $41,000. NYU President John Sexton disputes that number and says the median debt load is more like $7,000. And he says he has overwhelming internal support for this expansion.
The people who make the decisions for the university, the Board of Trustees, are unanimous and enthusiastic in their support. And there are a great, great many faculty who are in support of it.
It may be hard for Sexton to see the opposition from where he sits, a dozen stories above Washington Square Park, with red-tailed hawks nesting on his windowsill. Sexton seems flummoxed by any opposition to the plan. To him, this expansion's a no-brainer, a noble endeavor that will make NYU better able to compete in the 21st century. Sexton's a former theologian. As dean of NYU's law school, he transformed it into one of the best in the country. He's been making change happen since his high school days.
After becoming a national debate team champion, he started a debate team for girls. Now, this was unheard of in working-class 1960s Brooklyn.
Because I didn't know, and because I didn't see what I had done, winning the national championship, winning scholarships to college, being successful in debate, since I had done it, it didn't seem very special. I expected them to do it. My obliviousness became a strength.
That obliviousness may be what's helping him now. Professor Miller says 32 NYU departments have passed resolutions against the plan. And a survey about the expansion from a governing faculty body found that a majority who filled it out oppose expansion. But only about 1 in 3 even bothered to respond to it. Aaron Burke at Cornell says faculty support will be key.
It's almost impossible for a university president at a major university to lead without the support of the faculty.
First, though, the plan's got to secure the support of the City Planning Commission that's expected to modify NYU's plan. Then, opponents will have one last chance to make their case to the City Council. It'll vote on NYU's plan sometime next month. For WNYC, I'm Janet Babin.